I was checking. I was. It was during COVID, the midst of that. We talked with you back in the fall of 2020. My goodness.
Oh, my God.
I said, been a long time. And you've been busy since then. You are doing so much. Let's talk about a couple recent projects. What can you tell us about Isabel's Garden?
Well, it's a family movie. You know, I play a divorce lawyer, or actually it's two women who are dealing with the loss of a shared spouse. One was married to the other one before, you know, but there was a child involved, and it's just, you know, it kind of follows that trajectory where, you know, there's a lot of drama involved when two women who shared a spouse, and there's a child involved, that they have to work things out, and I'm part of the process. It's a lovely little movie. Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's very cool.
Loved your work and loved the movie. Notorious Nick was so good. You had a great role in that, and the young man who played Nick was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. Cody Christian is very cool. He's on a new series now, American something or other. I can't think of the name. That's weird. Anyway, it's been on for quite a while. But Cody is, you know, a dedicated actor. He's an athlete, obviously. He did, I think he did all of his stunts and, you know, all the fighting that he had to do. He's quite a guy that I think has a big future, hopefully.
And that movie's still out there. If people haven't seen it, it's well worth it. It's, again, based on a true story and a fabulous film.
Oh, it's an amazing. I was unaware of, you know, the story of Nick Newell, who was a guy who was born with a genetic defect. He, you know, had just, you know, no forearm on one side. But he had an obsession to become an MMA fighter. And, you know, everyone said, well, you know, nobody wants to fight you, mainly because you're either going to... Nobody wants to get beat by a one-armed guy, and nobody wants to beat up a one-armed guy. Doesn't look good for anybody. But Nick rose to the challenge. You know, tremendous heart. You know, it's kind of a Rocky-esque story of the underdog who perseveres no matter what he's told. You know, people told him to, you know, go get lost, become a janitor or whatever. You know, nothing wrong with being a janitor, by the way. But anyway, yeah, so he rose to the top. He actually got his shot. You know, won the MMA championship in his division. A great story. And I played his high school coach because nobody would even handle him in the professionals. He goes back to me, and I was his wrestling coach. And then, you know, together we persevere and move forward through the world of mixed martial arts. And sure, you know, it's a great story. It's really true. And it's a true story.
Every time I turn my TV on, you're there, and it's awesome. Great to see you working with that Dynamite ensemble on The Conners.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was great. You know, I'm a big fan of John Goodman forever and ever. So although we didn't have a scene together, Sarah Gilbert and I had a nice little moment. But I got to meet him and shake his hand and a picture taken with him like a regular fan. And yes, it's a great show, funny show. So it was real thrilled to get cast in that.
And you did an episode of The Rookie with Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion, yes, that was fun. I did. I think I'd worked with him once before on some other project. He wasn't in the scene that I was in, but yeah, he, you know, great. I think he's a really, really terrific actor, and. Yeah, I got to really kind of go crazy and lose my mind. I was playing a real sketchy, low-life hoarder, you know, who gets accused of some, you know, harassing some kids. And, you know, I get to really go bonkers in the scene that I had, which was a lot of fun to do.
And a series, I was hoping we would see more of it. I really enjoyed Mrs. Davis.
Yeah, Mrs. Davis was fun. You know, that was, you know... it was a very intelligent, a very well-written story, but perhaps a little highbrow for the average viewer who just wants to sit back and relax and not be challenged mentally, intellectually. Yes, I had a lovely little role in it. I don't know if you saw it. I did it pretty much in the nude. you know, how at this stage of my life that I'd even think about doing that. But I thought, well, hey, you know, it was shot tastefully. Nothing was shown that shouldn't be shown. And it was a lot of fun. Betty Gilpin was the star of it. And so we had a really great time working together.
And you had done several episodes of the original Bosch. It had to feel great to get back together with Titus Welliver and that great team for Bosch Legacy.
Yeah, Bosch. And I met Titus when I was doing the movie Argo. And we sat next to each other. And, you know, we just kind of chatted. And I kind of got the sense he was a big fan, you know, probably of My Three Sons and earlier work. You know, everywhere I went, I'd kind of bump into me. And, you know, and we just, I don't know, like he was following me around, which is fine. You know, huge fan of his work. So, yes, when the Bosch series came along, I reached out to him. I said, hey, man, you know, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And he said, you know, I'm on it. And he greased the wheels for me on that, I got to say. You know, that's, he's a good man, and he's a great actor. And, you know, and then he did one episode of Bosch Legacy, and now this new version of it. I was put on in a veil to come and do, recur with a role that I had of the medical examiner, Gary Potter. But the word came down from the higher-ups that they didn't want to use any of the supporting actors from the earlier Bosch universe. So sadly, it looked like it was going to happen. And then, you know, it's the way the business works. Sometimes they pulled the plug on my character. So, yeah, you know, it's the way it goes.
And just about a year ago, I think, because I saw you had posted about it on social media, a chance to get back and do some stage work with an acclaimed production of Cyrano de Bergerac at the legendary Pasadena Playhouse.
That was a highlight of certainly, yeah, my life. I mean, to work in that theater. I had never been to that theater, I'm sad to say. I'm embarrassed to say, because I do love theater, and I live in L.A., and the Pasadena Playhouse has been there. I think they're going to be celebrating their 100th anniversary maybe in May. But, yeah, so, but, you know, to do that play in that space at that level of, you know, quality, Chuck Woody Iwuji, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
But he's
unbelievably, unbelievably talented British actor. He was the High Evolutionary in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and some other series. But boy, you know, he brought it. He is did Hamlet recently in New York. You know, he's a classically trained actor. Just to share the stage with somebody of that caliber was truly amazing. Really, really amazing. And everybody else in it, Rosa Salazar, who's, I guess, Alita, Battle Angel. I don't know. I didn't know. Apparently made $800 million around the world. And Will Hawkman, who was in Blue Bloods, was a Christian. You know, just top tier actors, production. I wished it could have gone on longer. They don't schedule things for more than 6-7 weeks at the Pasadena Playhouse. And it's a shame because it was such a quality production. It could have run. And it literally was spontaneous, people leaping to their feet and standing ovations every night. Well, I don't think there was one performance that didn't get a standing ovation. Not necessarily because of me, although I didn't bring it down, but Chuck brought it big time as Cyrano, and well deserved. You know, he's a fabulous, fabulous actor.
We're talking with Barry Livingston here on Downtown. And another aspect of your life that I've come to enjoy so much since discovering it through social media is your music. And I always look forward to it when you post a new song that you've done. Is it Kulak's Woodshed?
Yeah, I'm going to go there tonight, actually. You know, I've always been a musician. I bought my first guitar when I was 15, and I still have that guitar.
Now, wasn't the story from your book that you wanted to do it like every other kid? As we watched the Beatles on TV back in those days, you wanted to play the guitar, and your mom said, well, okay, you can take lessons because it will make you a more well-rounded performer?
Well, she had some vision of me as being Bobby Darin or something. He can act, he can play guitar. You know, a couple of those things came true. I can dance a little bit. play guitar better than I can dance, and hopefully I can act better than I can do both of those. But yeah, that probably was part of it. She had this grand plan to see me, and it was a good idea. You know, as an actor, a performer in this business, anything and everything that you have in your tool bag is a good thing. So I do play. I like to write music, and at this ripe old age, I still harbor a fantasy of going on tour and playing nice little clubs around the country. But I'm satisfied just playing at my little club in the neighborhood here, which is Kulak's Woodshed, which every Monday night they have an open mic, and I go down and usually play a song that I wrote. And I'm going to do that tonight.
Well, and you did a wonderful song that was such a touching tribute to your sister, Michelle, who you lost a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was, yes, it's, what can you say? It was a really tragic loss. She, you know, it was not expected and came out of the blue. And she, you know, not to go into details, but it was just heartbreaking that she passed away the way she did. And we were close. She, you know, lives in Sacramento, but nonetheless, she persevered. You know, she grew up in a kind of difficult circumstances. Not, you know, my mother passed away young. And so she was a teenager when she passed away. So, you know, that's a tough time for a daughter to lose their mother. You know, she went through a lot of changes, a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties, eventually came out on the other side and, you know, became a vice president of this huge company and had two kids and a great marriage. So my song tried to capture her essence as somebody who, she was everyone's best friend. You know, what can I say? That's part of, and that's who she was. She was a beautiful human being.
Well, it's a wonderful tribute. Speaking of music, you introduced me to your son's band, Living More, and man, they're terrific.
Yeah, they are doing very well. They just had a song bought for by Netflix. What's it called? Random Canyon, I think, something like that. I think it's a new series that's going to be coming out. So again, they, you know, play around. I think they're finishing up their fourth album actually as we speak. So that should be out there. And yeah, they're terrific. I mean, my wife and I always kind of played in clubs around LA. But boy, they certainly outdo us. They're really great songwriters, and together they have a fabulous harmony. His wife, Alex, is probably, I would say, the lead singer, although Spencer does a lot of singing too. Yeah, Living More. Check them out. If you're, you can find them on Spotify and online, you know, Instagram or wherever. They're really good.
Caught a picture of you too with another friend of our show who can do a little playing and singing along with acting, Bill Mumy.
Yeah, Bill and I have been friends forever. I mean, we have even predating My Three Sons and Lost in Space. I think one of the very early days of my career, we did a pilot together that Desi Arnaz produced called The Two of Us. And we were both cast in that. I couldn't tell you. I think it was about an animator, a person who was because part of the show was going to be animated and some live action, which was kind of unheard of back in the probably 59, 58, something like that. We were both really super young. So yeah, our paths have crossed over the years, and we have played a couple of gigs together. He's a really, really fabulous musician, and you know, very accomplished, and is always putting out new music. So he's terrific. You know, really cool guy.
You mentioned Lucy, and I flash back to the story in your book, which is a great read, by the way, The Importance of Being Ernie. The story about Lucy coming to your aid when her husband Gary Morton got upset with you.
Well, yeah, I was on My Three Sons at that point, and actually I had done a couple episodes of the Lucy show before I was finally under contract to play Ernie in My Three Sons. She used me in a couple episodes, and she knew me from the Ozzie. I had already done 16 episodes of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, so I was a known child actor. But anyway, I was on Suns, and you know, you're there long days. And as a kid, I was obsessed with baseball, and I didn't have a baseball, but I would collect gaffer's tape and I would mash it up into a ball. I don't know why I couldn't have gotten a real baseball, but nonetheless, but I would stand outside our sound stage, and you know, it's a huge warehouse like buildings, and I would throw the ball up as high as I could and bounce it off the wall and catch it, you know, if I could. But every time I'd throw it up, there was leaving a mark because I'd miss it and it'd roll through dirty water or oil or whatever. And I just figured I'd throw it back up there. So it was pockmarking the whole stage. And Gary Morton. And he kind of sped up in his golf cart and looked at the side of the soundstage and was like, "Kid, stop. What are you doing? Oh, man. Oh, this is going to cost a fortune to repaint the side of the." And just about that time, as he was, you know, really laying into me, Lucy rolled up in her golf cart. She goes, "Gary, you know, shut the hell up. Let the kid alone already." And goes, she goes, "Keep playing, little boy. Keep playing, Barry. You know, one day you'll be on the Dodgers." You know, and so, yeah, Lucy had the final word on everything. So Gary zipped it, and I don't know if they repainted the stage or not, but yeah.
You end up, boy, I've talked to a number of people through the years who all have nothing but good things to say about the experience of working with Adam Sandler.
Adam is, without a doubt, the kindest, gentlest, generous person that, well, I dare say that I've ever worked with, but boy, in the top five for sure. You know, he's just a mensch. He, you know, I did you know, a little cameo in Dickie Roberts, former child actor, which was produced by his company, Happy Madison. And, you know, just whatever, it was a day's work and sounded like fun. And, you know, but I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd like to be in one of Sandler's movies. And I was on the lot at Sony where his offices were. And I thought, well, you know, what the heck? I'll just walk over to his office and say hi and thank him for putting me in Dickie Roberts. And he wasn't there, you know. Actually, his offices are in Judy Garland's old massive bungalow.
Wow.
Old MGM. That was very cool. So I was like, huh, this is kind of cool too. Anyway, I came out and he sped up on his golf cart, you know, and he's covered in sweat. He's playing basketball with the guys. He's just a regular guy, you know. And so I thought, well, okay, this looks a little awkward, but I'll go up and, "Hey, Adam, you know, I, Barry Livingston, I just wanted to thank you for putting in Dickie Roberts." "Oh, man, oh, yeah, oh, sure, yeah, that was great. Oh, I'm so happy you were in it." I was like, "Hey, I'd love to be in one of your movies." "Oh, yeah, sure, sure, I'll put you in one of my movies. Yeah, yeah, no problem." Yeah. And so from that point on, because he was a huge fan of My Three Sons, he's, "Oh, we would sit every Thursday night, you know, the whole family would gather in front of the TV and we watch the show. Oh, it was so cool, you know." So I was like, great. Well, you know, so from that point on, I would get a call to come in and audition. And it wasn't my agent, I don't think. It was just Adam remembering. And that went on for 2 or 3 years. I was called in for The Longest Yard. I was called in for a couple other Happy Madison, Adam movies. Finally, the You Don't Mess with the Zohan came around and I got the call again. But probably the third or fourth time I was asked to come to read for one of his movies. And, you know, read and with casting and, you know, Garrett, but then I got a call and say, "Can you come to a table read at Sony with, you know, you don't have the role yet, but, you know, can you come down to just read this role with the cast? They want to hear it out loud for the director and produce." Anyway, yeah. So I get there and I'm going, great. I haven't got the part, but, you know, you can't say no, but, you know, it's still an audition in my mind if I haven't got the part. So anyway, sitting there, but I feel a tap on my shoulder and I turn around. It's Adam. He goes, "Oh, yeah, CC told you I'd get you something good, man. I told you I'd get something really good." And I was like, "Oh, man, Adam, I might cry right now, okay?" Because nobody in this town has that kind of thoughtfulness and that kind of memory and following through on a promise. And lo and behold, you know, I got the thumbs up from him after the table read. And I thought, well, there it goes, you know, that's Adam. Another story about Adam. I told him about my son, Spencer, you know, he was still making music. He's a musician himself, you know, surrounds himself with, you know, the best of the best. Just do a concert, you know, like they had a a big rap party for You Don't Mess With Zohan, and he played with, you know, incredible players. But anyways, Spencer and I said, you know, you could come with me to the party. And we're there. Adam's not there yet. We're kind of milling around, big, big place. And, you know, finally Adam comes through the front door, you know, and there's a buzz, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, the boss is here. And he kind of, you know, shakes a couple of hands, and then he looks, he's not in the room for more than a minute. He looks across this long, big room, and he sees me standing with Spencer, and he makes a beeline over to us and goes, "Hey, you must be Spencer, right?" And Spencer says, "Yeah." "So I really dug your music, man. Really, that's, oh man, so really, really great. You got to keep doing that. Keep doing that, okay?" You know, and Spencer's just, you know, agog, because Adam is, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world. But still, you know, to take that time to go and to remember again, you know, this is a year later, I probably gave him a CD that Spencer did, and to run over, you know, there's bigger, way bigger stars and people at that party than I was or Spencer, but to be that thoughtful and come over and say something that quickly, I just blew my mind.
Oh, that's great. Hey, how is your new art studio coming?
Well, you're really on top of
it. I'm not stalking you, Barry, I promise.
That's all right. It's done. It's waiting to be used. You know, my son Spencer has actually become an artist, a painter, and his work is being exhibited in some very prestigious events, Art Basel in Miami and Modernism Week in Palm Springs. There's a company, BG Gallery, has taken on his work and promoting it. And so that was the impetus to go, well, you know, we got this big yard at our house. And I thought, you know, he did all this artwork in his apartment, and they're big. They're like 5x5, you know, really kind of elaborate things. And I said, you know, you really need a studio. And I said, well, we'll just build one in our backyard. So my wife, who is a real handy person with tools, and I can swing a hammer myself a little bit, we threw it together, and it's done and ready. And yeah, you know, waiting for great things to happen back there.
That's fantastic. Well, Barry, it's great to talk with you, catch up with you again. I am such an admirer of the work you do, and the fact that you have created this really second career as a character actor and always deliver the goods in any performance. So it's great to catch up again and have you with us.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we did it. You know, hopefully there'll be no more pandemics getting in the way. So give me a call whenever.